This is the SML Podcast.
I'm in the closet right now, like literally.
I always knew you were in the closet, Tim.
I come out frequently, though.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah.
So should we get this shit started?
I suppose. Do we know what we're talking about? Do you have an itinerary?
I have I was just going to zip through the news.
A vague itinerary?
And,
a vague itinerary. Timerary.
An itinerary.
And then we'll talk to this
gentleman.
We
shall talk to the Brendans.
The Brendans. And...
But, Intros first.
Are we actually recording? Are we good to go?
Yeah, that's why I said... Like,
well, I can't see
I know,
the
but
laptop.
I can. That's why I'm hinting towards doing the intro.
It's okay. It gets edited anyway. Actually, no, it doesn't because Joe's always too lazy to edit
first
it.
First chunk will be off, but this part... No, we're calling out Tim on this.
We're calling out Tim on this?
What's up, everybody? I'm Tim.
I'm Chris.
Chris is a faggot.
Fuck
Joe's
you.
Joe's a faggot. And with us, we have Brendan, who's not a faggot. Say hi.
Hi.
And this is the
nailed it.
I feel like I'm on an episode of Dinosaurs that I need to like bang on people with a frying pan.
Not the mama.
Which episode is this?
36.
Of what podcast?
We're higher than that, aren't we?
No,
are we like 37 or something?
No, this is episode 36.
What's that podcast called anyway? He didn't tell me anything.
Like, he doesn't even know why he's here.
We talked to you about the podcast last time we went to 8 Static and you were there.
Did you like have someone kidnap him and just be like, talk into this microphone?
Call me now!
Call me maybe.
You asshole, call me!
Call
now,
me
this
maybe.
Is the SML podcast for SaveContinue.com. It was originally the small, medium, large podcast. And then Bogue left, and then it was the small, kind of medium, and back to large podcast.
Average, large, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little bit smaller than large.
And then we had a contest, and now it's the Someone Might Listen podcast, or the Sexual Molten Lava podcast.
Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie.
He was incorrect about part of his history. It was originally the small, medium, large podcast for the Gaming Vault.
The Shaming Vault?
The Shaming Vault.
And then it became for blademode.com 10 out of 10 Kyle Gatto.
Yeah,
for a week.
We didn't have a home for a little while when the Gaming Vault went away.
And then we created safecontinue.com and now we're on safecontinue.com.
But it was almost blademode.com, but we all looked at each other and went, "No, that's the stupidest name in the world, Kyle Gatto."
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
And then Kyle
Gatto. It was not 10 out of 10.
It was 0 out of 0.
And then Kyle Gatto was on the podcast last week, and we busted his balls about it for an entire hour, and then talked about Dream Theater, and then busted his balls about it some more while Tim was gone. And now it's episode 36, and you're here, Brendan.
Tell us about yourselves.
I am already learning so much.
And now you know our entire back catalog story, and... You're just as informed as we are.
Fleshlights.
Right. Fleshlights,
like
Dark Souls.
NBC, you know, the more you know, after school special.
Precisely. Yes.
Dokapon.
Fleshlights, Dark Souls, Dokapon.
Crunchcast.
PC Master Race.
I suck at fighting games.
It's $20. We're just going to try and cram in all of our usual sayings at the beginning so we don't have to
teach
like,
him the history of the show. But anyway, we've been doing this for way too long, and we're up to, like, almost single-digit listeners now.
So wait, we were at, like, fractional listeners at one point? We're like, we've got, like, a hundredth of a listener.
Fetuses listen to us.
Feti.
We have, like, half a listener who just works on our website, and we're lining up some actual real guests.
For no one to listen to.
I don't know how the fuck this is happening, but...
We've had some significant guests, like Nick Chester.
Twice.
Yeah, Nick Chester twice. Kyle. Kyle Gatto.
Kyle Gatto.
And now we have motherfucking Inverse Phase on the show. The man who is behind one of the greatest chiptune cover albums ever with Pretty 8 Machine. So, welcome to the club.
Oh my. I feel very clubbed.
Do you feel baby seal like
clubbed to death like Rob D?
Yes.
Do you feel closer?
Ah.
you.
Just a second.
Okay.
Do you feel closer?
Brendan, tell us a bit about yourself.
I don't know. What am I supposed to do here?
Tell us a bit about you.
I have lots of good stories, but I need like an inroad here so that I can just talk forever and scare people away.
Tell us about the video games and the chiptunes.
Tell us about the chiptunes? Bleeps and bloops. We want to hear more about bleeps and bloops.
You want to hear more about bleeps and bloops? Well, yeah. Let me tell you, the bleeps are very high and the bloops are very low.
Oh. All
right, and that was Inverse Face coming up next. We might as well start with how I first got to know you was this little tiny
closet. In the back
yes.
of a bar.
Well, the first year kind of was pretty much a closet named MagFest.
Yeah, it was this closet called the Holiday Inn Tanglewood. And boy, did we get our wood tangled there.
Oh!
The woodsmen were there that first year. So.
That's gay, but totally acceptable.
Yeah, that MagFest thing. That was a little weird.
So yeah, what happened after the first MagFest? How did you get involved with it?
The guy said he was canceling it, and I bought it because I didn't want to bitch at him anymore to keep running it.
No, you should
That's
do this.
Really
no, seriously,
story.
You should do this. You should totally do it. All right, fuck it, I'll do it.
Well, when something that you really like ends, as in... is over, that. You keep clicking refresh on the damn website to figure out when the next dates are going to be so that, you know, you can set them aside on your calendar or start planning or whatever. And so, like, one day I pop up on the website and it's got this cute little game over, insert coin to continue, LOL.
So you inserted
coins.
And
they're like, well, the board of directors has reached a decision not to continue running MagFest. And so, like, I fucking Googled the guy's phone number that ran it and called him up at work and, you know, like, bitched him out. And he's like, well, you know, the people involved are, like, moving away and buying houses and I want to go back to school and who the fuck are you? And I was like, I'm one of the 200 people that you're pissing off right now because, you know, you're canceling something that was really awesome and we want to make it better. He's like, all right, well, maybe you can help me out, you know, like get in touch with, you know, like all of the guests and find a venue and, you know, like all of the things that I'm going to need to do again. I don't think we're going to be able to do it at the Holiday Inn or whatever. So, you know, like I started planning and getting my shit together and whatever. And like originally it was going to be run on the campus of William and Mary. I don't know if anyone actually knows that tidbit, but, you know, like, I found a bunch of people that I thought I could rely on, and, you know, like, a lot of them, are reliable people, but, like, the basically everything changed. We, you know, like, we started running it at a hotel instead, so it wasn't on campus, so all the people that I had got were, like, you know, people that were staffing the centers on campus and whatever. And so like the ideas changed and like, I got record time for the quickest response from the mini bosses ever. When I told them that I was going to do it again, it took like 15 minutes to get an email back. And they were like, we had a lot of fun. We're coming back.
Nice.
And that was really nice. And yeah, I mean, just, I don't know, shit started to fall into place and, you know, so like we got some emails from people that wanted to be a part and some emails from people that didn't and whatever. And, it was really interesting, you know, like basically shit got real, at some point along those lines. And Joe was like, I need to sell this to you, because I can't run it. And, you know, like, you're going to have to be that guy, and I'll stay on as an advisor for year two and, you know, like, help you and, you know, like, be a vice chair and help you out and tell you, you know, give you advice, whatever. But this is going to need to be your deal, and I was like, what do I need to do? And he's like, well, pay off half of my debt. And I was like, oh, shit. So I asked him how much that was, and we worked it off. And I was like, I called up a few people, and like Eli, who probably everyone sees at MagFest every year at registration. And I called up Eli. I was like, I think I'm going to buy MagFest. And he's like, Brendan, you're fucking crazy, and hangs up on me. And called other people, and they're like, I'll give you $50. And that was my friend Phil. And I think I did end up taking the $50. And Phil is actually one of the guys that has been to every MagFest, so he is a lumberjack like you and I.
Nice.
He came with me that first year and whatever. But
gross.
But what I really wanted that one night was not money and not other things. I wanted someone that could sit in the car and keep me awake so that I could drive 4 hours to bumblefuck Roanoke and, like, sign a contract. And so I called Joe back after calling Eli. I was like, Eli, I don't care if you agree with me or if you're going to give me any money or anything. Just sit in the car and be my witness, all right? And he's like, all right, I guess. Do I have to? All right, I'll go. You know, like, so he jumps in the car. We show up, and I'm like, Joe, I don't have all the money. He's like, just pay me by the end of the year. It's in the contract already. It's like, all right. So, you know, I signed the contract. We went over to his workplace, which I found out. I don't know why I didn't know until after I started working with him, but he basically ran his own, you know, like mom and pop game store. So, you know, bothering him at work wasn't really like, you know, calling him at, you know, I don't know, a fucking, well, it was a retail job, but, you know, like it was his own. So not like he was going to get in trouble with his boss. And we put like 50 power strips and extension cables and a pile of whatever the remaining MagFest 1 t-shirts were, and God, what else? Like a CD with like an Excel, or I think it was actually an Access database.
Ooh.
on there of like all of the previous attendees, and I couldn't ever get the Access file to open. So I ended up typing in all of the email addresses off of the G4 TV registration cards to get G4.
Oh, man.
That we, like, filled out at MagFest 1 and whatever, so that I could email everyone and be like, fucking MagFest, it's alive. Come to MagFest 2, and, like, all of that. Just put, anyway, all of this shit went in my car, and it's this piece of shit Toyota Corolla, and, you know, like, drove it back home after falling asleep on Joe's couch and going home the next morning. And Joe
raping you at night.
And I had to do something with it and whatever. And I guess I did, because there's 10,000 people going to MagFest now. So that's nice.
I just want to point out
humble beginnings at 265. That was year one's attendance.
Yeah.
I want to point out that so far this story has told me that it's gone from the Tanglewood, where you've tangled woods, to now it's at the Gaylord now,
that's
right?
That's the only takeaway you really need from this story, is that MagFest is about tangling wood.
and now it's at the Gaylord.
Yeah, right? So you're still tangling woods, it's just a different name.
It's just now it's more apparent. And, there's also a gathering of lumberjacks at the Gaylord.
And it also spawned a series of parties that I hosted called FagFest.
What you're saying is I shouldn't go this year.
I don't know if you like dick touching. That's the place, man.
Well, see, you know, MagFest was originally about being gay, and since I took over, you know, I kind of removed that element, so Joe had to keep it going.
YOLO.
Someone had to keep the dicks touching.
It's all about touching dicks.
We're a professional podcast.
Yep. At least 0.4 people are able to get off to this.
0.4. That's a good number. It's almost half.
Almost half of our listeners.
Almost half.
Are coming
that
right
now. That
one
half of a person that browses your website that you keep talking about.
No,
you know, I'm almost half of a person. If you take each part of my genitalia, then technically I'm like two-thirds. So
now I can almost guarantee Pappy is coming right now. Pappy is probably just drenched in his own semen. It's not related to the podcast at all. He's just at work right now.
Listening to the podcast at the same time, and he's like, wait a minute. They're talking about me.
They know. Oh my God, they know.
Oh no.
So I'm guessing MAGFest and your love of the music there eventually led to you dabbling in chiptunes yourself?
Yeah, so there was this guy
Segway
at MAGFest I think you may have heard of him, Joe. His name's like Jake or something.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. So he's kind of an underdog, you know, Game Boy, Nintendo musician guy. And
I wonder what happened.
Hey, is your point four people? I don't know. Like something happened where, you know, he did chiptune covers or something, and it inspired the hell out of me. Yeah. And
inspired the hell right out of
me. I realized I suck shit at playing instruments or making anything sound like real live instruments or anything really involving instruments at all, except for maybe skin flutes. So
the fallopian tuba.
I decided I would make bleeps and bloops, and I asked Jake a bunch of things, and he answered a bunch of things and threw a tech doc at me and told me to read it, and I read it, and I was like, oh, this is fucking simple. And I proceeded to put out shit for the next 3 years, and then I finally got good.
I got to say, while you're mentioning...
I released some things.
While you're mentioning Vert and chiptunes right now, people, I'm not even sure if this is on his website or not, but biglionmusic.com is Jake Kaufman's website, and if it's on there, you have to find his, I think it was Game Boy version of Thriller.
Yeah, it's a VRC6.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good. I don't know what...
Yeah, there was some other, like, someone tweeted about some Thriller chiptune or something like that that was released, like, last year. And I was like, that's good. But here's a link to something that has existed for, you know, 10 years and is way better.
Yeah.
I'm really excited that I'm going to be able to, I mean, like, not in person work with him, but I am technically working with him on a project that
possibly,
I'm doing.
As long as things come through. I know last week on the show we briefly touched on the fact that you're trying to put together a game remix cover album for MAGFest,
mm-hmm.
which Mr. Brendan here might even be joining up on the Gygas track.
That'll be fun.
Which would be good as long as he can make things work out. But Jake said that for now, as long as things in his schedule stay open, he's going to try to make room to contribute to a Shantae cover.
Shantae.
That's exactly why I put it on the CD, just so that we could say that. That's
Shantae.
Perfect. No, I actually, I'm probably going to be working on the scratch tracks this week, so I could send them over to him, so at least he has something to kind of mess around with whenever.
Yeah.
So I have to start with my drum tracks soon. I left my drum throne at my practice space for my real band. so I have to get that, and then I'll be able to try the drums. I don't know. We'll see how my shoulders hold up, but we'll find
out.
But I already have two tracks with rough guitar. One has bass. What's his name doing?
Norg is going to do Chapman Stick.
Yep. Norg is going to do Chapman
Stick. For the
Final
Fantasy IV boss theme.
So that'll be fun. I already sent the rough guitars over to him for that. So everything's actually going relatively smooth. It's just going to be a matter of when I go to sit down and mix and master it and what the fuck I'm going to call it. But
that's why I'm...
That could be a contest. That could be a contest. There's our next contest.
What, name the album name the song?
Name the project. Because you gotta give it like a band name. I'm not going to call it the Chris Huber...
I don't think we should trust our listeners to come up with a name for a
why?
Band.
I thought Puber
you
was...
You could just, you know, pull a US Games from the Atari 2600 era and call it Name This Album.
Yeah, right? Perfect. All the ideas.
The band will just be called Band Name.
Insert
album.
Band here.
Oh, just Band Name? Album title.
Just call it the album title is going to be Blade Mode.
Blade Mode.
10 out of 10 Kyle Gatto.
No, the band should be called 10 out of 10.
There it is. I almost spit water everywhere. Perfect. Thank you, Tim. I'll give you a free copy of the CD. I'll put you in the liner notes.
10 out of 10's first album, Blade Mode.
Blade Mode. See, it's perfect.
Oh, perfect. Man. Brendan, you would laugh so much more if you listen to our other shows.
Fantastic. I love inside jokes. It's inside jokes with our listeners.
With our listener.
With our fraction
with,
of a listener.
With Zach.
Yeah.
I just need a laughter button.
Laugh track. I'm going to start including a laugh track with the podcast.
God. I don't have a MIDI, you know, like a nice MIDI keyboard here that I can just use the, you know, the laugh track on whatever
the applause
instrument number it is.
Okay, so you got into chiptunes, and your first album, which was that retro covered?
Actually, the first album was my Guilty Gear covers.
Ah, ooh, I forgot about that.
I did a bunch of shitty chiptunes, and then I did effectively two or three going on at the same time. One of them was just, I really just fucking love the music from Guilty Gear. So I was like, all right, well, you know, the intro to Guilty Gear is only like a minute long. I think I could handle this. And I tried to do a cute little chippy cover of it. And it turned out pretty good. Like, people were like, hey, you should do more of this. And I was like, all right, that's the first vote of support I've heard ever. So, I started listening to more Guilty Gear music, and I was like, wait a minute, there's a Guilty Gear Game Boy Advance game, and there's a Guilty Gear Petite for the Wonder Swan, and I was like, God, the wonder what the chiptunes sound like in those. So I put on the soundtrack, and I was like, oh, the soundtracks sound like ass. So I then kind of took it upon myself to pick 10 songs from Guilty Gear, including the intro, I guess, so 9 more, and just, you know, like, threw together a cute little EP, and I was like, yeah, you know, I got to 10, and I was, well, I got to, like, 9 or something like that, and I was like, I could do a ton more of these, and then I started on the 10th track, and, like, Otakon was around the corner, and I was like, oh, shit, I could release this at Otakon, and then it just became an EP instead of a full-blown album. And I fucking Kinko's, you know, some copies together and covers and dual-sided bullshit and whatever. And then just, you know, like, made them in my hotel room in, like, 5 minutes so that I could, you know, like, get out there in the dealer room and hand them to people and blast them over things and, my buddy Carlson, who sells games in the front of the MagFest dealer room and a bunch of other cons, he was like, sure, I'll take a couple. And basically, we sold all 50 copies in the span of a day.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, wow, okay, this could be a thing. So then I was like, well, what else do I have going on? And I had a couple other singles, and the other tracks that I was writing at the same time as the Guilty Gear intro and the rest of the Guilty Gear stuff. I wrote, the intro to the 1986 Transformers movie, did an entire chiptune cover of the entire song and whatever. And then, you know, I did a cover of the Duke Nukem grab bag theme. And put those out, and like the grab bag theme was originally, well, it was like 5 different reasons. I just really liked Duke Nukem, but you
Who
know,
doesn't?
Like it was also because
Gearbox.
They have that wanky synth solo, and I was like, oh, maybe I can, you know, pretend to do keyboard wank like Jake. And the answer is pretend is the key word there.
Yeah.
It's just how I'm pretending how I play guitar now. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm actually playing it, but I'm not a good guitar player.
Yeah, I'm not a good anything player is the problem. So I had to kind of teach myself to do shit from scratch again and whatever. But, you know, like the Duke Nukem cover came out good, and some guy asked if I wanted to enter it into you know, like a grab bag theme song competition. I won like a piece of the Berlin Wall.
What?
Well, how the like, fuck is that a prize?
Yeah, hang on a second. How is something that was included in a collector's edition of World in Conflict for the PC a prize?
I don't know. There are a lot of, you know, like, maybe because I own it now and not, you know...
Berlin.
Soviet Russia.
Berlin's ground.
I don't... but yeah, so, you know, I put those out and I was like, I guess I could do some pop covers and... You know, like, I wanted to play out, and I wanted to do some other stuff and whatever, and I was like, all right, let's do some, you know, like, some chiptunes for the masses. And, you know, like, this one bar booked me to play in Charlottesville, and I was like, shit, what am I going to play? And I wrote, like, in the span of, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, I just quick, you know, like, shit out a Weezer cover. And nice. Then, you know, I was like, oh, and I could, you know, I had this, like, Song 2 cover that was sort of, you know, coming together. And I was like, all right. So now I got some Nintendo and some Commodore, and I could play some stuff. And I had, like, 4 or 5 other, like, works in progress that were just, like, you know, cute little 10, 15-minute loops of, you know, like, some other pop song or whatever. I was like, all right, you know what? I've got, you know, like, at least a half-assed set, and it's kind of this open mic thing, except, like, the guy that ran it booked me as the headliner of the open mic, as if that were a thing.
It happens. It does.
So, yeah, it happened. So I just showed up, and I was just like, let's just fuck with people. They're going to be drunk. They're going to be at a bar, and they're not going to give a shit. So I just, you know, like, I just started screwing around, and it was a lot of fun. And I was like, all right, I need to get better at this. So I wrote a couple more pop covers, and... basically came up with 13 songs and put together retro covered the second album. And, you know, like, mostly Nintendo, a couple game covers. There's a story behind every song. All the stories are, like, if you click on the individual song on Bandcamp, you'll get the story behind the song. A couple of them were even cool to the point where, like, I did a cover of Send Me an Angel, which everyone knows is, like, that one song from The Wizard.
and, that one song.
I actually got to email and talk to the guy that wrote the song and whatever, and get his permission directly from him. That was pretty sweet, considering he's like an '80s band. And I actually had heard the song before it ended up in The Wizard, so that was, yeah, like, I guess more meaningful to me than it would have been to, like, pretty much anyone else. You know, and I did, like, I did an Assemblage 23 cover of one of their songs that was new at the time and whatever, and got in touch with, you know, Assemblage 23 is one guy. So, you know, I just kind of, like, sent a message. I was like, hey, I'm doing a chiptune cover of this, you know, like, one track off of your new album. Is that cool? Like, I don't even know who you are, but your song is stuck in my head, and we keep on listening to it on the ride to work with my buddy, so I want to cover it. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever, just let me know when it's done, and send me a copy and whatever. And so, you know, I released that, and he, like, talked about me on his blog and whatever, and I started, like, getting press, and it was weird. And suddenly I had enough songs for the album. I released the album, and it made it on Boing Boing in, like, you know, this, like, stupid, like, 1 or 2 sentence post or something like that. But my traffic went up, and it was just in time for the next Otakon after my previous album. And, like, all of that just kind of cemented that I should keep doing it, right?
And yeah.
So I, you know, like, I did some more, and I was like, what should I do next? And I did a couple singles, and by then people were asking me if I wrote original music for games and stuff like that. And suddenly I became, you know, like, the guy that MAGFest would book as a guest instead of
the guy
that was running MAGFest.
I was going to say, you run MAGFest and you always get booked for MAGFest.
Favoritism.
Well, I feel like this is a conspiracy. I don't run MAGFest anymore. I stopped being involved after MAGFest 9.
Okay.
So if you've been to any MAGFest at the Gaylord, I wasn't actually involved. I mean, I'm there. I answer questions. I know how shit works more than probably half the people there, but
you were at the Lumberjack panel.
I actually have a forced, well, I don't know if forced is the right way to put it, but because I got so stressed out with MAGFest, I actually gave myself a health condition. So I had to back off. Otherwise, you know, my doctor was basically freaking out that I had even let it get that far. So
MAGFestitis?
Yeah, something like that.
okay.
It's
you got lumberjacked up.
Oh.
LOL.
LOL.
I think so. Yeah, so I don't know. I just I released a bunch of albums. Wow. I became this guy. I guess the big thing that really skyrocketed anyone's interest in me is I did the CeeLo cover.
CeeLo Green?
Fuck You, and did a Nintendo version of it, and you know, screwed up the lyrics a little bit, and you know, made them game oriented and whatever, but kept the spirit of the song, you know, where it's about, you know, a dude bitching about his ex girlfriend that wants him back now that he has money, or I don't know, whatever. Anyway, white bitches. So
white bitches.
Moral of the story: white bitches.
I apologize.
How about your boy Dolomite? P.S. I bring plenty of bitches, especially the white ones.
God damn.
So I put out the CeeLo cover. Suddenly I had gigs. Suddenly I had contracts. A kid that went to Drexel was like, "Hey, I'm writing a Smash Brothers game that looks like it'll be on the Game Boy. Does anyone write Game Boy music?" And I was like, "I can write Game Boy music." And he's like, "All right." And I wrote some Smash Brothers Game Boy music. And I was originally just going to send him, like, cut and dry loops that were really good that were coming out of a Game Boy that would fit in the game. And eventually I was just like, fuck this. I'm just going to write everything from scratch. And wrote probably the most uninspired Game Boy covers of Nintendo songs ever. The thing is, they really fit in the game. You know, like, even though it was literally taking the music from Zelda, which is a Nintendo song, and putting it on the Game Boy, which is already sounding a hell of a lot like the Nintendo, and just, you know, incorporating a little bit of, like, an upbeat flair to make it feel like, you know, an old Game Boy game. You know, like, all the Game Boy games were more upbeat than the NES, for whatever reason. You know, like, they just had to be happy and cute. So I was like, all right, let's make everything happy and cute.
Visuals.
Let's
incorporate
this stupid, you know, like, square wave bass drum and snare, and then, you know, like, pushed it out. And to date, it's the most, you know, like, downloaded thing from my Bandcamp. And, you know, like, I've got this other guy that I'm writing a beat-em-up game soundtrack for, and I got a guy that was, you know, a fan of some of my stuff, and, he wrote a space shoot 'em up for iOS called Shuttle Scuttle, and like that was, I mean, that was years ago, but like the point is like I got to that one. I actually got to, you know, show off some musical chops and write some original music that, you know, like game music has been a part of my life, all my life. So that's why MAGFest was such a big deal. And that's why, you know, like chiptunes have become such a big deal and whatever. So like, I got to finally, you know, he sent me an email. He's like, yo, I really like Blaster Master and Batman and 1942. And, you know, this is going to be like a heroic, energetic, you're saving the world, spaceship, save the astronauts kind of game. And, like, showed me the title screen, and I just started writing music. And, like, every time I sent him a song, he would just be like, perfect, great, more of this. And, like, so I just kept on sending him whatever, you know, like, he wanted. We threw out, like, only maybe two tracks and put out a game with a 17 track soundtrack for iOS, and, you know, helped him get his file size down so that you could download back when, you know, like you couldn't do anything unless you were connected to Wi-Fi. Whatever. Anyway, point is, you know, like all of a sudden my two worlds are colliding, my like video game covers, and then, like, you know, my chiptune world, and then on top of that, like, all of the, you know, like, original game music and whatever. And like, so everything just kind of like turned into a ball. And, you know, I just got to kind of poke at the ball and whatever, like the ball is spinning, you know, and wherever the pin drops on the ball is just where I can work on music. You know, it's like, doesn't matter what it is. Maybe I should have used a spinning globe analogy. Anyway.
Maybe. It's still a ball.
Ball.
It's just a ball that represents ball and, a larger thing.
Ball.
Yeah.
Ball.
But yeah, it's fucking weird. And it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I just kind of try to aim higher with everything. So, you know, a couple years ago, I decided to aim really high and do some Nine Inch Nails. And
he got really high.
That's already fucking electronic as hell.
That's what I was just going to lead into as how you got into, because if our listener didn't know, Inverse Phase is the guy behind Pretty 8 Machine, which is a pretty much chiptune cover album of Pretty Hate Machine from Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
You guys could, like,
so
talk.
The story is that I really like chiptunes, and I really like Nine Inch Nails, and both of them have gotten me through, I don't know, both of them have just been a part of my life since they existed, you know? Like, I was like, and I was looking around, I was at a convention, and just talking to people and playing, you know, playing my CDs and whatever and hawking them at another con. And, you know, someone was like, you know, what would be really cool? Some Nine Inch Nails covers. I was like, well, there's fucking chiptune covers of everything on the internet. Let's go find some. And I didn't find any.
But what you did find was like, Linkin Park
this
videos.
This is stupid. So
Linkin Park
that
AMVs.
Night, I wrote 2 minutes of Head Like a Hole on the Commodore 64 and brought it back the next day to the table. I was like, hey guys, look what I found, and just played the 2 minutes of Head Like a Hole as a
look
joke.
You
and they're
found.
Like, where did you find this?
Dick.
It's like, actually, I wrote it in an hour last night, and they're like, we have to do more. And I did more, and then I was like, I should just do the whole album. And, you know, like, Carlson, the guy that I was talking about that sold my first CD, he's like, I will buy 50 copies of this on the spot from you if you, you know, like, if you put this out on an album.
Nice.
And I was like, all right, I guess. And then I realized, okay, if I'm going to go legit and if I'm actually going to take on, you know, like, an entire band's work or on something or whatever, I need to make it very clear that I am not intending any sort of infringement and get my shit together and buy some rights and, you know, like license things and whatever and call them up and be like, hey, I'm doing this and, you know, just all of those things. And so I was like, all right, this is going to be a lot of fucking work. So I decided to kickstart it because I had parted ways with MagFest. And so I didn't really have that to rely on, and I lost my day job and a whole bunch of other shit, and I was like, you know, I got money to live on, but I don't have a whole lot, and I definitely don't, you know, like, have, if I spend money that I have to live on everything on licenses, I'm going to be eating not even ramen for the rest of my life.
Not
so,
even ramen. The cardboard yeah, that the ramen comes in.
Definitely not.
Love ramen so much. And Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
But,
today
but yeah, so,
newspaper.
You know, like, I kickstarted it, and it succeeded, and I underestimated how much I actually needed, but I still made it work, and a year later or so, you know, like, I put out the album that I intended to put out and whatever, and I got the attention of the Nin hotline or the Nine Inch Nails hotline, the big fan site that posts all sorts of Nine Inch Nails fan news, and I actually talked to the guy and put him on my listening team right before the album came out so that he could tell me, you know, what was wrong with it and just be like, here, criticize this, tell me where I fucked up. Because when I announced the Kickstarter, the chiptune scene was all like, oh, why Nine Inch Nails? You could do so much better stuff. Why are you doing this? And then all the Nine Inch Nails fanzine was like, oh, you're going to fuck up my favorite album, blah, 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 blah. And like, so there wasn't really a whole lot of support except for, like, anyone that backed the album and my friends. And that was it. And, like, you know, it was me against the world. And so when I put out the album, I finally got on, you know, like, got in touch with and talked to the Nin Hotline guy, and he started listening to it. He's like, this is really good, and he did give me some valuable feedback and whatever, and I put a couple other people on the listening team and got feedback from them, and then I was just like, fuck it, it's done, put it out. And I put it out to a listening party with Chris, Jake's wife, and, you know, like, we had a fun time, and there was a little bit of fanfare and a bunch of people chatting in IRC and whatever, and then...
IRC, oh like, my god. Right,
yeah.
That brings me back just, to my
you know, I was
days.
Like, all right, I'm fucking going to bed. Sent out everyone their download codes that had pre-ordered, and, yeah, I was like, all right. And the next day, I actually was going to Too Many Games, a convention / swap meet expo, whatever.
Was that in like
thing.
Reading or Harrisburg or something?
Well, now it's in Philly, but, or in Oaks, which is close enough to Philly to call it Philly. And, the next day I was just planning to go up there, give some chiptune talks, perform, talk CDs again. And, you know, like finally I could be like, hey guys, you know, CDs, I can ship them to you, and the album's done, and this is my latest greatest, and I've gotten it done just in time and whatever. And so, you know, we're getting ready to go and everything, and I wake up at about maybe 10 o'clock or something like that. I was like, I got a couple sales. Well, that was fun. And then a tweet goes out from the Nine Inch Nails Hotline guy, and he had like fucking 20,000 followers or something like that. And he's like, Pretty 8 Machine is out and it's awesome, link. And that was pretty cool, and that generated some buzz. And, you know, like there were probably maybe, I don't know, like 20 or 30 retweets on it or whatever. I was like, oh, that was really nice of that guy, you know, like whatever. And then all of a sudden, an hour and a half later or something like that, Rob Sheridan, the artist or graphic designer or whatever for Nine Inch Nails, I think he actually has a term like creative director now or whatever. He's an awesome dude. And he tweeted out, he's like, this is Pretty Hate Machine as reimagined on 8-bit consoles or on 8 different 8-bit computers and consoles. Like, and like, just didn't say anything good or bad about it, just let people pass their own judgment or whatever. And, like, suddenly I start getting email after email after email after email of people retweeting and favoring and whatever. Wow. And then 15 to 30 minutes later, the official Nine Inch Nails Twitter retweets him.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh, damn. And then I realized, oh, the official Nine Inch Nails Twitter is probably controlled by him. But, you know, like, that didn't really negate the oh shit moment, you know, like, so all of a sudden, potentially, you know, like 1.2 million people could have like heard about this album.
Damn.
Just because a bunch of people made a tweet. And, you know, I mean, really in reality, probably 1% of those people were actually, you know, looking at their cell phone. Or whatever, and looking at Twitter and whatever, but people just left and right are talking about it. Write-ups went up all over the internet. A bunch of crazy shit went down. And, when I finally got to Too Many Games, my phone had actually died from buzzing or vibrating or, you know, like making noise every time I got an email. So like, I ran into my own panel that I was supposed to run 10 minutes late, and there were still people in the room, and I was like, hey guys, anyone know who that asshole in Verse Phase is? And just started giving my chiptune talk. And, halfway through the panel, I get 3 text messages, one from my dad, one from the Nine Inch Nails Hotline guy, and one from someone else. I think it was Nick the Newbie. And they were all like, hey, did you know you're number one on Bandcamp?
Oh, shit.
And I was like, no. And we just kind of stopped the panel right there and went to Bandcamp. I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet. And, like, one guy in the panel actually took a picture of me, like, pointing at the screen, being like, oh, are you?
Would you look at this?
Look at this, motherfuckers. Number one. Guess I don't need your shitty panel fans anymore.
You should have flipped the table and walked out.
I should have done a lot of things. But
I'm officially too big for too many games.
It was a pretty fun ride, and it was really crazy. And like watching social media is so addicting. Like, when something like this is happening, it is absolutely incredible to see how things unfold. Like, you just don't even fucking know sometimes what's going to happen, and you know.
I'll be surprised if anybody buys the CD that I put out for MAGFest.
I'll buy it.
Yes, one sale. Awesome, worth it.
I'll get Hooray! It.
Hooray! Made $10. All my money's made back. A month later, I got a nice letter, so to speak, an email from Trent. That was pretty cool. And earlier this year, I went to one of his shows, got to meet him, got the CD signed, my own CD. He didn't see it as an asshole move, which was nice. I was worried that if there was a signing line or a signing table or whatever, I'd be like going through the line and I'd be like, hey man, would you mind signing this? And he'd be like, you know, this isn't my album, right? Or something like that, you know? the way I got to meet him was at a show where they weren't seeing any fans. It was the last show on his tour with How to Destroy Angels. I think he was probably traveling with family, so he was trying to get out of the venue as fast as he could and whatever. And we just got really fucking noisy on Twitter, and we were like, hey, you know, we're out here. We just want to shake your hand and say hi and whatever. And I was actually referring to, like, me and, you know, the other fans that were hiding behind a barrier so the cops wouldn't get called on them. So 5 minutes later, this big burly security dude comes out of the back of the venue. He's like, where's the 8-bit guy? I had been talking to like everyone, you know, being like, this is why I'm back here, because I'd really like him to sign my album. And I did this, you know, like, and they look at it, they're like, oh yeah, Pretty Hate Machine. I know what that is. You know, like, and, it was really scary that people knew me. So like when the guy is like yelling for me and everything, it's like everyone just turns and looks at me, and there's like no question in anyone's mind that I am the 8-bit guy and that I am the one he's looking for.
You have, you know, been like, beckoned
for. So he like comes over to me. He's like, you, only you, come with me. It's like, so I actually got pulled in by security.
And then beaten savagely.
And,
And then he would think to himself, that's what I get. But it would be the only time.
You have a problem, Tim.
Yes.
How many more can you make?
Well, at least, only, you know, I didn't have to tell him a terrible lie to get in there.
Depends on how down in it I get. I can't take it. Oh, my God.
Keep going, Tim.
Keep going with the story.
I want to see how many more puns Tim can make.
I know he has the track list up like right now, because there's no way he's pulling this off the top of his head.
There's a forum called Echoing the Sound, and it's basically a giant Nine Inch Nails forum. And there's actually a pun thread.
Are you on the pun thread right now?
So if you guys want to die a little bit, you can pop over there.
Nice.
Oh, God.
But here, ETS pun. I'm sure it'll come up like, oh, Euro Truck Simulator came up for ETS. That's funny.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Euro Truck Sim.
Truck yeah. need to
That was a sin.
Oh, there. God, there's more than oh, here's you. The threads, I think.
I like that it didn't, like register in your head, Joe. Like, that
God
was
damn it.
That was a sin.
All right, so now that we know who you are,
so the seas parted, light came down, and you ascended into the backstage area. Is that what had happened?
Wait, what?
The guy came out and said, "Yo, where's the 8-bit guy?" And you're like, "I'm right here." And then what happened?
Oh well, I mentioned the part where he said, "You, only you, come with me and drag me down into the green room."
Come with me if you want to live.
And, like, Jill, my girlfriend, was, like, just being like,
you said Joe.
I'm his girlfriend and running after me. but yeah, so we just, you know, we went down there and, you know, like, the downstairs of this place was kind of a maze and there were, yeah, I mean, they were packing up the show, so there were, like, road cases everywhere and whatever. And so, you know, just, like, randomly... Not attempting to hide, but just like hidden behind one of the road cases in the hallway is randomly Trent. And so I was like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" You know, like shook his hand and
kissed
whatever, and you know,
God, fuck you.
He was like, "Hey, I grew up 8-bit, and that was a nice job." And you know, like we just shot the shit for like 5 or 10 minutes, and you know, I told him that I like some of the stuff they were doing with How to Destroy Angels and, you know, like how a lot of things were really restrained and other things were like kind of pushed to the forefront. And yeah, it just kind of different. It was a new sound and I liked that. And yeah, like you can still kind of hear Trent's signature on everything he writes, you know? And I thought that was neat and, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I told him some of that and, you know, he was just, I don't know, he was really down to earth. He was really chilled out. And, you know, like the security guy has my camera. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to take a bunch of pictures, all right?" And I was like, "That sounds good."
He's and, like, no.
So I turned to Trent and I was like, "Hey, Trent, do you do
no
faces?"
Pictures.
And Trent's like, "Give me a face." And so I just made like a really retarded face at him. And he and I both just like started laughing because it was a really dumb face.
Duck face.
And so, like, there's a picture on my Facebook of him and I, like, having, you know, like, just laughing. And you kind of don't recognize him because, you know, it's Trent Reznor.
And he has
smiling,
a smile
but,
on his face.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have the infinite scowl, then it doesn't look like him.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it was really cool. And, you know, like, I mean, I don't know. He's following me on Twitter, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, like,
really
I was
weird.
Like, okay, so I have Trent's email address, right? But he doesn't really check his email, or at least he's not very good about it. And, like, admittedly, he's got tons of more important shit to do, but, like, you know, no one checks his email but him, you know, so I don't, like, have anyone to go through to get in touch with him, you know what I mean?
It's crazy.
So I'm like, all right, so I guess I could email him, and I did send him a sort of a fangasm email when he, you know, like, replied to me or sent me the nice note, you know, like, last year. And then, you know, like, I didn't really hear back from him, so I was like, oh, maybe that didn't really work out so well. Maybe he didn't want one of those, you know, like, but, you know, so, like, after I met up with him, it was clear that he just, like, never even got the email or he didn't really check or, you know, whatever. And, so, you know, I decided I would try sending him a DM on Twitter. I was like, well, that might work, I guess, you know. And I asked him if he wanted a Pretty 8 Machine shirt. And he's like, hell yeah, size large. And, like, I already have his address because I sent him some CDs. So, you know, like, I just put a fucking large T-shirt in the mail to him. And, you know, that was kind of funny. And I don't know, it's just, it's like a really weird experience that I don't know how to explain. Like,
why haven't
I know
you
this guy
used your...
and he's a rock star and he's a really nice guy and he doesn't have time, you know, like to get back to me all the time, but he does when he's looking at his phone or, you know, his email and like he's, you know.
Why haven't you used your friendship yet to get him to go to MAGFest?
Yeah, I think I need to, I don't know, get more on a social level with him before that's going to be possible. But
didn't he do the Quake soundtrack? You could just have him there as like a fake name and just be like, oh, he's performing the Quake soundtrack.
That would be awesome. That would be amazing.
And then out of nowhere, you put together the, you have the backing tracks for the Pretty 8 Machine album, but have him sing over it.
Yeah, I don't know if that sounds like a great idea, but I could recommend it to him.
It'd be different. It'd be interesting.
You know, it'd be awesome if you had him do the Quake soundtrack live, but like, he was sort of shrouded with lighting from like the waist up, so you couldn't actually see it was him, and then right at the end, raise the lighting and have him peace out. Like, oh yeah, it was Trent Reznor, bye.
we could put nail gun ammo boxes all over the stage. I think I just killed someone.
I think you should try to make that happen. And then Magfest would be like, oh no, we have too many guests. We can't. He's too new. We don't know him. So anyways, segue. What are you guys playing this week? Might as well get into our normal podcast
yeah,
now.
Yeah, an hour later, yeah.
Has I it was been on an a hour? Massive win yeah. spree on
Look,
League
guys,
of Legends.
It was story time. LOL.
Story time with Brendan. So Brendan, what have you been playing recently? On various people's couches.
In terms of games, Jesus. I think the God. What have I been playing?
Good answer.
Probably. Yeah. This is a really good question, actually.
Couch Hopper 9000.
And the answer is God. I don't even know.
Couch Hopper 2013.
I'm always playing tons of retro. I don't really like or care to play anything new because it costs too much. So my gaming, the problem is my gaming addiction is quite large.
Mm.
And, but I don't, you know, have the money to keep that going. So, usually I'll like eBay some old games or whatever to add to my collection and play them as I'm testing them out and putting them away. So, if I'm not doing that, then, apparently, has everyone played No Breaks Valet yet?
No, but I think I know what that is.
It's a really dumb Ouya game that is lots of fun.
Oh, he said the words Ouya, so we already know it's quality.
Yeah, well,
ooh, yeah. So,
yeah. So, if I'm not playing, you know, like random indie or, you know, whatever, Ouya games or whatever, I still have barely played the games that I've, like, even put my own music into because, like, they're always released for platforms that I don't even own. Like, I don't have anything that has an I in front of it. So I can't play Shuttle Scuttle, and like the beat 'em up game that I'm writing music for is coming out for Vita. So like I'm I don't sorry, have a Vita. So you know it's like all of anyway. That's not the point. Point is, if I'm not playing that, like I recently eBayed a Leisure Vision, and also an ATF MP1000.
I have
no idea what that is.
Please tell me it's a laser gun.
No, they're both like 8-bit or whatever consoles from the Atari era that like no one knew about.
Yeah, like all three of us.
Pretty much no one knew about.
Essentially, yeah.
The ATF thing, they brought out something called the Imagination Machine, which you might have heard of.
Yeah, on South Park.
That sounds porny.
Yeah, it sounds really bad. And the games are pretty fucking bad too, but but the point is
they're games.
I can collect old games a lot easier than I could collect new games because I can get an old console for the price of like GTA.
Okay, so Brendan has been playing old games that no one's heard of. Chris, what have you been playing lately?
Pokemon, lots of Pokemon. the X and Y obviously came out on Tuesday. Well, Saturday or whatever. I've been playing it like pretty much nonstop. I think I am at. I just finished the grass gym.
The so grass I'm like gym.
Whatever.
Did
whatever.
You cut their lawn to win? Did you use cut?
No, I you actually get cut very early in the game for whatever reason.
Because you got to cut bitches.
But so I just finished that
white
battle.
Bitches?
White bitches.
White bitches. I'm enjoying it a lot so far. I like that they've got a really good mix of older Pokemon that I remember and newer Pokemon that I have no idea what the fuck they are. So it's kind of like every single time I hit a random encounter, I'll just be like, is it going to be one that I know or is it going to be one that I don't know? And then when it's one that I don't know, I'll be like, what is this thing supposed to be?
See, the difference between you and me is because this is my first Pokemon game. Every time I go into a random battle, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you are.
Yep.
Oh, wait, I know Pikachu. Hi, Pikachu. And then that's the extent. So I'm sure you are much, much further than me.
I got to use Mega Evolutions on my Charizard and on my Lucario. Lucario Mega Evolved with any of his fighting moves is broken. Like, he does a lot of fucking damage.
I'm still mad that Torchic evolved into a dick.
Really? I didn't even get mine yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I've been playing the game. Instead of, like, trying to get a free Pokemon.
All you do is just save, reset, and go to Mystery Gift.
I will do that next time I turn it on.
So, Joe, what have you been playing?
Pokemon.
Pokemans. I've been playing Pokemans for the first time ever. I've not nearly put in the crack addict time that Chris has.
I've put in a lot of fucking time.
Fun employment helps that.
Well, I'm actually going to be working. Yeah. at a game store.
I have also been playing re-download all my PS3 games, 2013.
That's a really good game.
Version 2.
Version 3, actually.
Tell them why.
Well, no, re-downloading is version 2.
Mm, mm-hmm.
If you've been a listener to the show, you would know that my PS3 hard drive corrupted, which is always fun. So the decision was made to re-download everything on that system, and then we would hopefully get a new system in the future and transfer everything over. GameStop has been running a sale where any PS3, used PS3 at all, no matter the version, the hard drive, anything, was $150. So we picked up a red 500 gig one, and I figured I would back up everything to an external hard drive that Chris brought over. So after, what was it, like 12 hours of backing everything up?
It was after 8 hours of DOS trying to format it.
After 8 hours of DOS trying to format the hard drive and failing because it was too large, we used a different program and had it formatted properly in about 30 seconds.
Yep.
And then we backed up everything onto the hard drive, which took another 12 hours, plugged it in the new system. Nothing copied over because it was a new system and not just swapping hard drives. So then I hooked both systems up together, connected them with an Ethernet cable as the system itself recommended I do. And after about 15 hours of that, I noticed that it just stopped. The hard drive lights weren't going. Nothing was happening. It just stopped. It gave up. So I hit quit and I would see how much actually did transfer.
None.
Hard drive was corrupted again. So I gave up, and I am now re-downloading everything again on the new console.
And, after 3 days.
And hating my life.
And hating Sony. Fuck you, Sony.
Yeah.
You know what doesn't have this problem?
PC! Xbox.
No, retro consoles.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm surprised Brendan wasn't like, hey, if you got an... What the hell did you just get?
An Atari 796235.
I got the two systems I got. One was the APS MK1000.
See, I couldn't even remember
which
that.
Is, It's a console that goes inside of the imagination machine to make the innuendo just one step worse.
Stick it inside.
The Laser Vision was, I don't know that it was released in the U.S. I think it was, but it was more popular in Canada.
Popular in Canada.
Like Nickelback.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. But
and AIDS.
The Emerson Arcadia is what it's a clone of.
The Emerson Arcadia. Is that like Empire Arcadia?
Ooh, is that like Emerson? About? Is not that like all. Emerson Lake and Palmer?
I was gonna say, can we talk about Triforce again?
No.
Zoop.
Although hopefully A Rival will be playing Zoop Zoop at 8 Static this week.
I'm so bummed that I can't go. I want to go.
I can't go either because I can't get there.
I want to go
unless I go with you, Tim.
Well, where would you stay?
I don't fucking know.
You're staying there?
Yeah, I'm staying overnight.
With who?
Charity.
Shit.
Do.
Hey, A Rival.
Yeah, I don't know where Alex is staying. Brendan, do you know A Rival?
Yes?
Yeah. No? I think Brendan has heard of A Rival.
Oh, yeah, he knows. He was on fucking stage.
I don't know. It's some guy in, California.
No, he's in Seattle now.
Yeah, I know. I just.
Oh, okay.
Word.
I had to sound stupid.
Word. Word, bird.
Head like a hole.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I've been playing lots of League of Legends now that I got my computer back up. And just went on a crazy win streak, which is unheard of in that fucking
A win streak in League game. Of Legends is nearly impossible. And he did it yesterday.
Although I almost rage quit because of a guy on my team. Now we're winning this fucking game. We're stomping the other team. And just because of one player on that team has a really shitty attitude, like, we were asking for help from another player to come down where me and AJ were playing, and just asking for help, this guy's like, shut the fuck up, noob, like, stuff like that, and I'm like, what the fuck is your problem? You're like, I just need some teamwork here, please. And it was just one of those types of assholes, and I almost just said, fuck it, let's quit the game so this guy loses, because he's such a dickhead. But that's about it. That's all I've been playing.
Yeah, I gotta love that League of Legends community.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
The community is so bad for that game that nearly every PAX, they have a panel just to talk about the problems within the community and how they can try to improve on it.
Oh, God.
I don't understand. I just don't understand how a game makes people so toxically evil.
I don't know. I don't understand it either, because like the first couple times that we played it, I had no issues. And then as soon as everybody's like, league this, league that, like...
fuck off.
Everybody was fucking dickheads. And I'm just like, well, I don't want to play this now. Like,
I'm glad I never got into that.
Well, it's on PC. You wouldn't play it anyway.
Yeah, true.
Derp, derp, derp.
I don't like my PC.
Derp, 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 derp,
derp. Derp, 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 derp.
So, Brendan, do you keep up in the gaming news at all? Or is... anything like...
Depends on the news. I mean, like, so the Elephant and Giraffe GTA 4 mod thing.
What?
Just heard about that the other day.
Wait, what?
What? Wait, okay, so you guys haven't heard about
this
either.
I have not
heard
about this.
Not feel as bad. All right, Joe, check your Facebook messages,
can't because we're talking on my
through
phone.
His phone.
Can't? I just added you as a friend on Facebook. You could send it to me. I've got my Surface up in front of me, so.
I've got my Surface.
All right, so I have to message you and be like, listen, asshole, I've never met you before, so don't friend me. Or I could have Facebook give you the talk.
Oh, no, the talk.
Have you ever gotten the talk?
No, what's the talk?
Have you ever said, no, I don't want to be friends with this person, and it says... do you know this person outside of Facebook?
Oh, yeah,
if you
yeah,
hit
yeah.
No, it gives them the talk.
I'm putting
like
the video
it
on.
It forcibly logs you out, and when you log back in, it's like, so it looks like you've been sending a lot of friend requests to people you don't know.
Wow.
Anyway, Tim,
what
you should have that. This is a pretty genius GTA mod.
So what exactly does the mod do?
He sent me a video, so I'm gonna pull it up.
I
which helps our listeners.
Yeah, the video. It will all be clear soon.
Oh, yeah, the anticipation is killing
me. Keyboard.
I have to skip the ad. Hang on.
Yes, all right. Thank you.
I'm not going to tell you what it is until you're watching it. And then you already know.
What the fuck is going on right now? This is the... There's a giraffe driving a car.
And an elephant.
And an elephant driving a car.
There's a man riding a horse on top of my chest.
Jeez.
What? What? What?
Oh, and he
in
landed
the
fuck?
Oh my god.
I think we're going to have to link this in the description.
Yeah. Because that.
I think that this makes me unable to wait for GTA 5 to come out on PC now. This is going to be a fucking amazing when this comes out.
Is your sound up, by the way? There's gangster rap.
Yes, it's up.
All right. Just, I can't hear it over here. So, anyway, yeah. So this is genius.
Yeah, so that happened.
So I'm not up on gaming news, but I just found out about this.
That's a good thing to find out about.
That's newsworthy.
That is so go download this mod if you have GTA 4 on your PC.
Is that GTA 4 or was that 5?
That's 4. GTA 4.
Oh, okay. 4,
GTA 4 on PC.
There's a giant modding community.
There is a huge. I have seen so many mods for GTA 4 on PC. It's not even funny. I saw one that turns you into Iron Man, and you can actually like boost around in the suit and shit.
Wow,
it's
It's actually really like. I mean, some of the things that come out of that community are amazing.
Yeah, the graphics update mods that people have made are pretty wild too.
HD mods on a lot of PC games actually are really, really good. I've played a version of Minecraft that was fucking retardedly good. Like, I never thought I would use the words Minecraft and amazing graphics before, but it was fucking crazy.
I've seen some crazy videos of Minecraft with super high-res textures.
Dude, it was nuts. It was absolutely insane.
But I think news-wise, there is something that we should talk about. The news came out, what was it, earlier today, that...
The XL?
Huh?
The European XL?
Yeah. No, well, a Zelda 3DS XL, which is absolutely mind-bogglingly gorgeous for Europe. But no, there's this little game coming out later this year, formerly called Watch Dogs.
Oh, this fucking shit.
Now it's called Poop Dick.
Now it's called Fuck You Dogs.
No, it's just, it got delayed. It's
now it's
not
called
that big
Spring 2014. Like, not even early winter 2014. Like, shit got delayed until spring. So
I wonder what happened to make them delay it that hard, because that's a
6-month
delay.
Yeah,
especially when it's this close to release.
Yeah, I'm mad.
Like, we're a month out from the game coming out.
I'm mad. But let's back up real quick for the biggest news this week, which is the Zelda 3DS XL. It's pretty. It makes me sad. It is gorgeous. They also, now mind you, this happens all the time. Exclusive systems usually get put out in Japan. And we can never touch them.
Yeah, but you know what? Japan, I understand.
No, I understand
Fuck you,
Japan.
Europe.
But Japan also got that Luigi XO.
Oh, man.
Oh,
I wanted that one.
Europe's also getting that.
Are
oh,
they?
Oh, fuck them!
Yeah.
If you're listening from Europe, which I know you're not, fuck you.
Europe's getting the Luigi 3DS XL as well as the Zelda 3DS XL.
Damn.
Which pisses me the fuck off.
As well as a giant penis XL.
No, I wish. I mean, I don't. Watch Dogs got delayed. Yeah, that sucks.
Dude, that really bums me out.
I was really excited about that game, and that is a huge delay.
Let's see what's...
Yeah, Watch Dogs, actually, I was really fucking stoked about, and now I have nothing to look forward to for a while.
They're going to have the penultimate edition of Killer Instinct.
The pin ultimate?
Yes. It is a physical release with a download code, of course, with a case that doubles as a display case for a set of pins from Penny Arcade. Arcade is the name.
A little history about this, too.
So are they like Pokemon badges?
No.
No, they're pins.
Well, actually, yes and no. At PAX every year, at each PAX, they have a limited edition pin set that they put out for each PAX convention.
Right.
And it becomes a huge deal to trade for these pins to try and get them all.
Right.
During the course of the convention.
Gotta catch them all, right.
So that's actually kind of a cute little thing they did with the Killer Instinct thing. They're like, oh, look, all you people out there who like collecting these penny arcade pins, now here's some more you can get. With
and you can yeah. and you can display them.
Yes.
Yes. The bundle is $60, and it comes with the
everything.
The Ultra Edition of the game. So
okay, that was the one that was like 40.
Yeah, with the okay. costumes, the arcade version.
Right, right.
And out of the set of 16 pins at the end, you are getting two.
Two pins.
Two pins.
Now this
and
is,
the case, the displayable case.
It's $59 too much for Huber.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Especially
shut
because
up.
The game itself.
It's $20!
Actually, yeah. It's free, but it's $20 if you want to do anything with the game.
Yeah, the full yeah. game. Sorry. The full game itself is
$20.
Other thing that happened this week, Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer went out of just some gameplay. And
oh, the HD remix?
No.
No, Kingdom Hearts 3. And penises
didn't
erupted
they,
all over the globe.
Didn't they announce like a some another?
Yeah, they also
yeah, a
announced,
trailer came out, though.
They also announced Kingdom Hearts 2 HD remix, Dreams Over Tears, 365 weeks or something.
A 10 out of 10, Kyle got
it. BladeMo.com.
Whatever wacky name they probably have for it. Fractional Games announced Soma. Which, do you guys know who Fractional Games is?
I no, do.
I don't.
Fractional Games are the guys who put out Amnesia the Dark Descent.
Ah, okay.
Now they're putting out a game called Soma, which is the same style as Amnesia, but it's a sci-fi futuristic horror game. They put out like a 5 or 6 minute trailer.
Nope, the game?
Yeah, Nope, the game.
Yeah,
Nope. God.
They put out a 5 or 6 minute trailer for Soma that's just a girl talking to a massive computer with all these, like, you know, Tim's thigh thick cords on it coming out of the back of it. It's like a giant computer monitor with keyboards attached to it and cords running off, and you can't see where they go. But it looks really, really like matrixy and weird. And the room that she's in is like a clean sort of spaceship room. And very, very kind of unnerving as she's trying to figure out how to turn this thing on and such yeah. tests. And then all of a sudden on the screen, right, this is like the last 2 seconds of the trailer, this like 5 or 6 minute long trailer where nothing happens until the end. On the screen, you see the same image you're viewing, the same camera view you're viewing.
Yeah.
But it's now the girl dying in her chair and slumping over on the floor. And she stands up looking at it like, oh, fuck, turn it off. And then the trailer ends and you're like, nope.
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 Nope, the game.
Nope, the game.
Nope, the game. Nope out of nope. Blade nope.
Blade nope. BladeNope.com.
Kyle nope.
Kyle Nopo.
Final Fantasy VI is going to come onto iOS and Android, presumably for $49.99. Because Squaresoft has no idea of what currency actually means to anybody. They said that they would release, they're thinking about releasing Final Fantasy VII, then quickly said, it's too big, we can't put it on iOS.
Yeah, you can't have large games on iOS. Like, a
well,
gig...
it was less than 2 gigs, which falls under their download size
yep,
limit, so...
Technically. Oh,
yeah, that was my joke, is that, you know, Halo, Spartan
well,
Assault...
it was a good joke.
...on Windows Phone that is, like, 1.5 gig is okay,
yeah,
but...
and it's... When I finally get around to finishing the last 5 levels of that fucking game, they're the bonus DLC levels... it'll probably get a 4 on fucking savecontinue.com. So
Maybe a 3.
It would have been like a 6 or a 7, but every time I got frustrated with that fucking game, I just was like, nope, knock it down a notch, knock it down a notch. Oh, wait, this is still going? Knock it fucking down a notch. That game makes me mad.
I guess we could kind of start wrapping things up since we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for news, apparently.
Well, I'm just so, I'm scrolling through savecontinue.com.
I have plenty of stuff that I wanted to talk about, but we are already well over an hour in.
So what did you want to talk about?
Fucking Battlefield 4 beta. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
We'll go into it next week.
Holy shit.
Because we need to have something.
Brendan, what are your thoughts on the Battlefield 4 beta?
I haven't even looked at it.
It's fucking crazy. Crazy.
You should make an 8-bit soundtrack for Battlefield 4 so we can listen to it while we play the game.
I'll talk to the guys and see if they want to, you know, do a retro remake of it.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool.
Be like, yo, listen, you want to port Battlefield 4 to iPhone? I'll do an NES soundtrack to it.
Can we port 4-bit?
Can we? Can we port Battlefield 4 onto the Neo Geo? Can that be done?
I think they already did that. It's called Metal Slug.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, well, we might as well wrap it up. Brendan, I want to thank you for giving us a call this week and sharing your life story with us.
Yeah, thanks for the stories, or letting me tell the stories, whatever.
Memories.
We normally have music at the end of the episode, and I figured since you know a little thing or two about music, we will let you pick what songs we should play this week. So what did you have in mind for us?
Smack My Bitch Up by The Prodigy?
White Bitches?
White Bitches.
Hey, yo, listen, if you're going to play an album off of, or a song off of Fat of the Land, then you need to play Funky Shit.
Give me that, some of that funky shit. All right, so what should we play? Give us your tunes.
Are you playing my stuff?
Yeah, we...
Jesus, put me on the spot.
We're playing your music. Yeah, because you're here.
I know you don't know that much about Inverse Phase, but we're thinking about putting his music on today.
Yeah.
We're not just going to bust out Prodigy. That might cause issues.
And money.
Well, how many of these are you playing? Which one do I introduce?
You're just going to give a list of the four that... Three or four that you want to play, and... Then we'll play them.
All right. Do you want me to talk in between these so that I don't...
No,
we just
play them all during then. You're expecting
right,
too
so,
much of us.
Let's see. Most of this is unreleased, or at least, you know, like, well, at least half of it is, I guess. There is an Atari 800 cover of What's on Your Mind by Information Society in here.
Old school.
If you want to LOL a little bit, you can call it What's on Your Drive, and you can change the words Pure Energy to Pure Atari or something. LOL. On the same sound chip that Vert covered Thriller, I decided to cover an obscure song called Boobies. it's about this guy that is probably like Italian or Spanish or something like that, and talks about how the discotheque is where he likes to go, and then he likes to go to the movies, and that's where he touches all the boobies.
So boobies.
Sadly, my song does not have any lyrics, but if you listen closely, you can hear me like pulse buzzing along to his voice, kind of like Mario in Punch Out.
Nice.
Which is, you know, I guess a nice touch. What else?
Might as well get some Nine Inch Nails on there.
Hmm?
Might as well get some of your Nine Inch Nails on there as well, since, you know, that was
kind
of popular.
Either track one or two off of Pretty 8 Machine, that's probably good. I'll let you guys decide as a consensus whether you'd rather hear Head Like a Hole or Terrible Lie, but I think those are probably good intro tracks. Everyone knows Head Like a Hole. You should probably play that one.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Did I send you anything else?
Nah, that should be good. You know what? Just because I'm a fan of this song, we'll end it with your Propane Nesmares.
Okay.
From Pendulum, Propane Nightmares, because I love that song.
Instead of drum and bass, it's more like chips and more chips. But,
chips and chips. Crunch Cast.
Crunch Cat, you took my chips away. I wanted to eat my chips. Where are my chips?
Yes.
Where are my chips?
There's your guy.
And you can listen to my tremolo trumpets.
No. These are my chips.
I don't think... He probably can't hear you, but he is crunching on chips now.
I'm crunching on a lot of chips. White Bitches.